Continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching, and we appreciate your presence here today and the effort that you've made to come up and to be with us. We were just singing a song there about the house of the Lord and all the other places that we enjoy being and going to, but there's nothing quite as dear as to meet with fellow believers in the house of the Lord and to enjoy the fellowship that we have with the Lord and from the Lord, and one with another. I've heard it said many times, and I can agree with it, so there's nothing any sweeter or better this side of heaven. When the Lord's people meet together in unity of the Spirit and in the bonds of peace, and the Lord meets with them, and we feel His presence and fellowship and one with another. We're sorry to announce that Brother Haney has a viral infection in his throat, and he's really been sick, real sick. He tried to, he thought he just had a sore throat and he would doctor it and get over it, but it got worse and had to go to the doctor. And he can hardly eat, it hurts so bad to swallow. So he's lost a lot of weight and he's weak. But the medicine that the doctor gave him at first, the antibiotics, didn't do any good. And so he gave him a different kind, and just Friday. And he says he believed that is helping some. So he is some better, and we're thankful for that. And because of that, we didn't bring out lunch today. And I think he called and told some of you that. But nevertheless, we hope we'll have some manna from heaven to eat, that our souls can feed on. And we have a pleasant surprise. Brother Wayne Gibbons decided to come and be with us today, and we're certainly happy to have him. And we hope the Lord will bless him to speak to us. And we've known Brother Wayne a long time, and he's a dear friend and a brother in Christ, I surely believe, and we love him. And for Christ's sake and His cause sake. And Brother Wayne fills in for me here a lot, and I certainly appreciate that, and the church does too. And I think they've learned to love each other, and we're thankful for that. Is there any other sickness besides Brother Hill? We're happy to have Sister Mosley with us now. This is the first time she's been in a good while, I believe. And she's had a lot of problems. And we all have problems, but she's had, seems like more than her share. But we're thankful that she's here today. And we're glad that, each and every one of us have problems. They are to be expected of what the Lord promised, wasn't it? And He said, in the world you shall have tribulations. But then here comes the hard part. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It's hard to be of good cheer when you have problems. You lose your loved ones, you're sick, and you're getting old, and you can't turn the clock back. But nevertheless, we have hope of a better place at a better time, because of what Christ did for us. I heard a man kind of making fun of hope today, and he was saying that you were insulting the Lord to refer to your belief as hope. He said, you ought to know that you were saved, and not insult the Lord that way. But there is many references in the scriptures to hope. As a matter of fact, it says Christ is our hope, which is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The wind's blowing strong this morning. If you was at sea, it'd be nice to have an anchor if you want to stay still. So an anchor of the soul in times of tribulation and trouble is a wonderful thing. Brother Keith, what do you have? 172. Number 172. After that, the Lord willing, we'll endeavor to offer prayer. And I know Brother Wayne does, and I do covet an interest in your prayers, that the Lord will bless His word and bless us to comfort His people, that we might be edified and built up in the most holy faith, and most of all, that He might be honored and glorified in our preaching. Sing when you're ready.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior, divine.
Merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence and we trust, dear Lord, it's with hearts of thanksgiving for the many multiplied blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us all the days of our life. We thank thee, dear Lord, and desire to acknowledge thee as the God of creation, the God of providence, the God of all grace, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have hope of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, that we might stand in thy presence one day. And dear Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. We thank you, dear Lord, for the lot and the part that thou hast given each and every one of us here today, that in thy providential grace and abounding mercy, thou hast led us to the house of our brethren that we might assemble together. And we trust in the unity of the Spirit and in the bonds of peace, and bow down in humiliation and humbleness to worship and to praise thy great and wonderful name. We thank you, dear Lord, for thy word, which teaches us thy truth, that sets us free from the bondage of men and the ideologies of men and all of thy idols in this world. We thank you, dear Lord, for Brother Wayne and his faithfulness to thy cause. And Lord, we pray that I would bless him to preach the unsearchable riches of thee, our wonderful Savior, and bless each heart that's here today, that it might receive and perceive those wonderful truths that thou hast recorded for our welfare and benefit. We pray, O Lord, for our rulers and leaders, from the greatest to the smallest, for this wonderful country that thou hast given us and blessed us, O Lord, above all the countries of the world, the land of the free and the brave. God bless from sea to shining sea. Lord, how we love to think of thy mercies and grace when we think of the many blessings and privileges we have in this country above the peoples of other nations. Lord, we pray for our sons and daughters and those fighting for our liberties on foreign lands. And Lord, we've heard the threatenings of our enemies that would destroy us and take from us our freedom and subject us to their gods and to worship their gods. They would make us to be submissive if they have the power. Lord, we pray that thou would deliver us from our enemies, and for thy name's sake and cause sake, exalt, O Lord, this country, that thy name may be exalted, and stand, O Lord, as a beacon of freedom to the souls of men wherever they might be. These mercies and blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Wayne, God bless you.
I'm not going to take a lot of time. I truly hope I'm thankful to the Lord to be here, and thank God for the blessing to see each and every one of y'all, and certainly thank God for the prayer of Elder Draper. I always thought a lot of Elder Draper and Sister Draper. My wife thought a lot of Sister Draper, and Sister Draper, I'm sure, thought a lot of her. I just looking through some of her stuff a few days ago, and I saw a letter that Sister Draper had wrote to her some time back, and they thought a lot of each other. And Elder Draper, you saw him, whatever you saw him 40 years ago, you see the same Elder Draper today. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's never had no desire whatsoever to try to any please man or whatsoever. His purpose was to glorify God and to honor the Lord. That's what you can say about Elder Draper. You can say it to his face, you can say it behind his back. So we thank God for him. And I'm not going to take all the time on Elder Draper to have some time. But hope and pray that something that might be said, as Elder Draper said in his prayer, that to the honor and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to God's people's comfort and maybe their edification. I guess maybe we stay talking about this verse earlier in the week, and kind of got it on my mind. You know, I don't like to just talk about our brethren out in the denominational world. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there, and I was working in the Noble House in Kernersville just the other day, and this three young men, must have been about 15, 16 years old, came by inviting people to come to their meeting. And of course, I told them that I appreciated them and admired them, you know, to be a young man like that, being out doing things like that instead of being involved in some of the things, a lot of things that young people are involved in that's going on today. And of course, there's a lot of temptation out there to the young people. So, but I don't really mean to say nothing about them, because, I mean, like I say, there's God's people there, we have to maybe sometimes sort of mention things like that, maybe to in order to get across the truth. But you know, John 3:16 is, of course, you know, like far as the world is concerned, a popular verse, you know. And of course, you see it wrote on walls and places and all and like that. But there's a misunderstanding in John 3:16. In fact, in the one word in John 3:16. You know, Lord's people, they believe us with a heart. And of course, only the Lord can enable God's children to do that. And of course, but you know, the preacher can, after they have been born again in the Spirit, and of course, the Lord has taught them in the heart, they believe within the heart, then the preacher can preach to them, and then they can believe the truth is of the Bible, and so of course study the Bible and read the Bible and hear the gospel preached, and then therefore they worship God in spirit and in truth. So, but first of all, we know that a child of God has got to be born again in spirit, and of course they believe us within the heart. And of course, I thought of something the other day, you know, that of course, like to say again, I'm not criticizing people, God's people out here in the world, but just mention things, you know, that they believe in order. But, you know, they advocate that, you know, that you're born in this world as a sheep. And, of course, and then you, at a certain age in life, you become a goat. And then you're required to do something in order to become a sheep again. But that's contrary to nature. You know, you know, and I know you can't take a goat, and regardless what you do to it, you can wash it and trim it and fume it and all that, you'll never make a sheep out of it. Same way as by sheep. Sheep, you never take a sheep and make a goat out of it. So the Lord's people are sheep. They, in the Bible, they're sheep, you know, and lambs. You know, Lord told Peter, he said, to feed my sheep and to feed my lambs. So the Lord's people are never goats. They're sheep from all eternity. They want to stray as sheep. And the Lord redeemed them back as sheep. And they will continue to be sheep. And so, but the Lord's sheep, you know, somewhere between conception and death, they'll be born again in the Spirit of God. And of course, they may never hear the voice of a preacher. They may never even have the written word of God. But somewhere between conception and death, they will hear the still small voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then, of course, in order to worship God here in the world, you know, they've got to be taught in the heart of the Lord. And, of course, and he tells us over there in the 10th chapter of Romans, he says over there, says, with the heart man believeth. Of course, 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth this is Jesus Christ, believeth that Jesus is Christ, is born of God. But it says over there, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we, God's children, God's sheep, they believeth within the heart. And that's got to be of the Lord. If a preacher cannot talk, teach the heart. Only the Lord can teach the heart. Over there in John, of course, little John, we call it. I believe it's about the 1 John, 2 chapter, 20, long, about the 27th verse. He says that the only thing that's within you shall teach you all things, and you need not any man teach you. That tells you that there's something within you, there's something within God's people that teaches you all things, and need not any man teach you. Well, is there a contradiction in the Word of God? No. Because we go over in Romans, you know, Romans 10 over there, and also in the same place it says, you know, over there, it said, who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and how shall it call unless you hear, and how shall you hear without a preacher? Well, over there in one place, in John, over there it's talking about teaching the heart, the Lord teaching the heart, the Holy Spirit teaching the heart. And, of course, over here in Romans 10, it's talking about the preacher preaching to you here in the service of God. And, of course, like I said, when God's children are born again in the Spirit, and, of course, they believeth within the heart, then the preacher can preach to them, and they can believe the truth. And if it's harmonized as what was within God's Word, then therefore, as we find in John 4:24, you know, to we to worship God in spirit and truth, we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So John 3:16 here is it don't say like a lot of people say out in the world that if you only believe you'll become a sheep, if you only believe you become a child of God, if you only believe you become be born again in spirit, be live in heaven and more glory. It, the word there is not believe. I mean, you think about this. A lot of people in the world, you know, that's got education, been through high school and through been through college, and yet they understand this here word here in John 3:16 to say that you believe, if you only believe. But it's not what the word says. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. That's a pronoun, past tense. Whosoever believeth, it's a security text. It's a security text to God's people. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Like I say, the word there is believeth, and only the Lord can do that. Preacher can't do that. And I'll say over and over again that, you know, the preacher can enable you to believe when you blessed to hear the gospel, when you read and study the gospel, when you blessed to read and study the gospel. And when you're blessed to hear, he can enable you to believe. If you already believe within the heart, then you worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, I never hear any of them read the latter part of the third chapter of John. You know, down here in John 3:36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. See? In other words, you don't do nothing to get it. He's already got it. He that believeth on the Son, the Son of God, the Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not on the Son, in other words, he that's not born again, he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. He don't say that he says he's not got it, but he also says he can't get it. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I mean, you know, people tell you that all of Adam's race, you know, can any Adam's race can do this or they can do that, you know, or they can do the other, that they'll become a child of God, they'll become a sheep, they can live in heaven more glory. The Lord told them, Matthew 23:33, you know, he called them vipers. I've never called anybody a snake, have you, Elder Draper? But the Lord had the right to. He called them vipers. He said, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In other words, there wasn't any way. In other words, I mean, if the world's got something, some way of people escaping the damnation of hell, then they got something the Lord didn't have. Because if the Lord would have had some way that they could escape the damnation of hell, then he would have been right to told them right there. But he didn't tell them. He said, you generation of vipers, there's no way you can escape the damnation of hell. In other words, the Bible plainly teaches us, of course, I may have quoted it here, I use it very a lot, you know, that, you, of course, you know, the rich man, you know, rich strong ruler came to Christ, and, you know, of course, he thought he'd go to heaven by keeping the law. Of course, you know, Apostle Paul tells us very well, you know, there's not a law given that's given life. And, of course, if you had a man verily righteous who came by law, then Christ is dead in vain, over in the Galatian letter. But he came to the Lord, and he thought he'd go to heaven by keeping the law. Well, the Lord didn't even have to quote one of them back to him, you know. And, of course, he just only quoted one of them back to him. Of course, which is, you know, he said, which is love thy neighbor as thyself. And he told him, said if you go and sell your goods and give to the poor, then you have treasure in heaven. And said the man went away sorrowful because he didn't even want to keep that, and he couldn't keep that one. He kept that one. And, of course, the disciples asked the question and said, who then can be saved? He said, with man, this is impossibility. Man was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He told him, says, it's easy for a camel. It's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. And a rich man in the Bible is not talking about somebody who's got money. It's talking about somebody that fared sumptuous every day in this world. There was no fear of God whatsoever before their eyes. Their heaven was right here in this world. That's what the rich man, because, you know, God's people, the Bible tells us just one chapter over from that, it tells us that God's children got to become poor. Become poor. When you're born again in spirit, we become poor in spirit. But the rich man, of course, it's an impossibility. So, in order to worship God in spirit and truth, and of course, what this verse says here, you know, is you got to be born again in spirit, then you got to be taught within the heart. And only the Lord can do that. And that's what this is. It's a security take to God's children. It said, who shall believe in him, of course, shall not perish. Of course, you know, they already got everlasting life. And so God's the love of the world. It's talking about the elect world of God. God's the love of the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but everlasting life. It's a security text to the Lord's people. It's a security. It's a comfort to God's people. It's not something that people do in order to receive eternal life, but it's a security text to someone that already has eternal life. Eternal life. And like I say, I say again, you know, only the Lord can enable someone to believe us in the heart. But the preacher, after they believe us in the heart, and then the preacher can preach to them, and they can worship God in spirit and truth, and give honor and glory and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I say, if we hear in sincerity this morning, if we all hear in sincerity, that's what we're here for, to honor and to praise the name of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, who gave himself for us, suffered for us, and is coming back someday to take God's people home, soul, spirit, and body. You know, we're losing a lot of our loved ones. Going home, the soul and spirit goes back to God that gave it. But one of these days, the Bible tells us, says, sorrow not as others which have no hope. for the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of archangels and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And thus that remain, there'll be some of God's people here alive and remain. Thus that remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He said to comfort one another with these words. So thank God for his truth that he's left on record to comfort, to edify God's people, that we might know how in the house of God. And of course, feeding, it's also feeding the hungry souls, those that hunger. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says that they shall be fed. Feeding to God's people as we sojourn here in this life to the honor and praise of his name. Like your brother said, it's not an easy road. Some people try to tell you, that if you'll only serve God, that everything's going to be like chicken in the pie and pie in the sky. No, you don't take away all the bumps and the sorrows. But I tell you, it sure does help you to bear them. Thank God for his mercy and for his grace each day of life. Without him, it'd be hard to live in this old sin-cursed earth. Thank God for all that he's done. I could stand here until the rooster crows in the morning and tell you that at times, I know no doubt in my mind that he has blessed me and my family. I may have told this here, I may have told it, but I know my father died when I was about 17 years old. And of course, I was left at home and with my mother and an 11-year-old sister. And of course, my mother, she'd been sick all of her life, and my father was a good man, worked hard, and of course, spent all his money for medicine. I guess he probably bought a train load of medicine here, no telling how far. And nothing ever really done my good mother any good. She had epileptic seizures. And she made her home with me the rest of her life. And of course, after Peggy and myself and married, she lived with us. She woke me up one night between midnight and day. And we lived in an old house trailer. And she was having one of those seizures. And I was in the room with her. And of course, And I saw her have thousands and thousands of them, and probably in the millions, don't tell them how many of them saw her have. But that night, I felt different about her than I ever felt in my life. And I believe the Lord ever blessed this old sinner to pray. I wasn't nothing then, brother, and I ain't nothing today. But I believe he ever blessed me to pray. He blessed me to pray that night. And my mother went for 12 years and never had no little seizures. So that God can bless us. God does strengthen us. I mean, he may not take away all the trouble and sorrow. He said in this world, of course, the brother quoted, in this world you shall have trial and tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for he's overcome the world. So, but God is with us. And thank God for his mercy and for his grace. And thank God for his truth that he's left on record to comfort and to feed and to edify God's people as we sojourn here in the world. May God bless you and keep you in my prayer. In the name of God.
Well, just keep on going. I'll have to jump on that.
But I don't. You're a bit weak. You are living down here very much. Thank you, good Lord. Pray the Lord bless you.
Thank you. Continue to pray for us. Brother Wayne, preaching good, I thought. I was enjoying that. I believe I can say the same thing about Brother Wayne that he just said about me. I guess he meant it for a compliment, and I took it that way, and I mean it for a compliment that said he'd known me about 40 years, and I was the same, and I can say the same about him. He's preaching the same message today that I've always heard him confess since I've known him. And I didn't know about his mother that he just said there. So it sounds like that he's been acquainted with a few tribulations himself, like all the rest of us. And as we've heard said so many times, we have hope. And hope is, it's a living hope, and it's not an empty wish. I think that's one thing that people get confused when we talk about hope.
they think we're using it like people use the word wish. And they say, you know, I wish that I had this, or I had that, or this and that was the other. And it's not based on anything. But hope is based on something. It's not an empty wish. Hope is based on something that's happened in here. And so we covered and continued to interest in your prayers. In the sixth chapter of John, I think we spoke on this before, but not recently. And we're supposed to stir up our pure mind with the same message all the time. So it's an old message, but it's ever new if the Lord is witnessing to it and to each one of us as we hear it. And it's a continuous food for the soul. I mean, you know, we eat potatoes a whole lot. If they're fixed right, they're good. It doesn't matter how often you eat them. And so is the Word of God for the soul. It's food. In the sixth chapter of John says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now this was the Jews that he had been dealing with, and they had been rejecting him. And more, I believe Brother Wayne was in the third chapter, and it says in the first part of John, I believe, it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, and not of the will of man, but of God. And so those that receive him are those that are born of God. And that is the qualifications that the Lord himself gave, that we must be born again before we can believe that he's the Son of God from the heart, that we can see the kingdom of God that he set up here in the world. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand, but it cometh not with observation. We don't see it with the natural eye. We see it with the spiritual eye and the spiritual understanding. So here in this sixth chapter, the Lord has just fed a great multitude with five little barley loaves and two fishes. A great miracle. And he rebuked them when they were following him and said, "You're following me not for the miracles that you saw." People left to see, be entertained with miracles. And they looked at Jesus, a lot of them, like a magician, you know. He does these mysterious, strange things, you know. Like we would look at a magician. I've seen some magicians do things that I don't know how in the world they do them. They surely look miraculous in a way. But they've got ways of tricking the eye and doing these things. But, of course, the Lord, what he done was forthright and plain. There wasn't no trickery about it. Miraculous, yes. But some of them looked at him as a magician. And then, of course, the others... they like the idea of eating without working. Just follow the Lord there, and he's going to break the fishes and the bread and feed you. So they like that, and he said that's the reason they were following him. And he said, "Seek not the meat that perishes, but that which endures unto everlasting life." And of course, that was himself. And so... after he said, well, as a matter of fact, it's just right above. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, that's just as plainly exposing the natural heart as anything can do. We just feel like that you've got to do something in order to get anything. That's just as natural as it can be. And we've got to work in order to receive wages. And we feel that way, the natural man does about heaven, that he's got to do something. And so they said, what kind of work must we do to work the works of God? In other words, what kind of work will he approve of? And what kind of work is it that God does and that he will approve of us doing? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So if we want to perform the work of God, then we must believe on him whom he hath sent. In other words, that's a work that has performed by God. And it's a work that he's performed on you to enable you to believe on God. And as we believe on him and grow in grace and knowledge concerning him, then evidently we are doing the work of God. And as we said, that he had just done this miracle of feeding the 5,000. And but evidently it might have been a whole lot more than that. It said 5,000 men, I believe, didn't it? And so it may have been a whole lot more. But anyway, after he said, this is the work of God, believe on him who he has sent, they said, and his was their reply. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest? What dost thou work? What dost thou work? He just fed 5,000 people or more with five fishes and five loaves of bread and two little fishes. And they said, what dost thou do that we might believe on thee? They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, I think in some ways this portrays a child of God that's been born again, but they're not acquainted with the gospel or the word of God. Over in the fifth chapter, we might say that the book of John is displaying the deity of Christ. Each gospel has its own theme, and we've said many times, Matthew's theme is that Jesus is the son of David and is entitled to sit upon the throne of David. Now, the throne of David was a type of the throne of the Son of God, which is eternal. And so Matthew gives his lineage from Abraham.